Oh God, okay. You know, you can't figure out why your sound isn't right, and then you realize it's because you are wearing your headphones while you're wearing a hat. So, already we can tell this is going to be a good one. One of quality, huh?
Life's not like flat, and you've done all you can. You may need a new head. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to poop, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it,
fuck you.
Ain't no need to question my devotion. For the girl I love, all burdens will I bear. Oh, sweet Mary, where'd you go? I kissed your lips just days ago. Now it seems I'm steady wasting time. 100 miles, empty roads, worn out heart, teeth, gold. Feel like I just lay down and die. On the other side.
Hey everyone, welcome to another show. Let's get started right away. We've got so much to do. So much to do, because I have to ask this question. What the fuck is this thing that girls are doing? This is a new piece of the show we like to do. I'd like to make this a regular segment. What the fuck is this thing that girls are doing where they go to paint pictures at a place and drink wine? If you have a Facebook, you've probably seen this. I don't know where this is happening, why or how, but here's what I know. There will be a line of 10 girls who have all painted vaguely the same picture and seem to be smiling like they're enjoying themselves. What is this? What is this activity? When and how did this begin? How did someone decide, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to a place and just paint. I mean, is there like a Bob Ross there who shows you how to paint the pictures? Is this like a thing that you do for your bachelorette party because, you know, you have your bachelorette party 10 years later than you should have? You know what I mean? You're already married and have 3 kids and you're like, I'm going to have a bachelorette party. I don't understand what this is. Bear in mind, this is coming from somebody who, you know, is on a Tuesday night sitting and drinking the cheapest possible beer he could find and talking into a microphone alone. So, you know, the criticism there is pretty light, I would say. I don't know. Consider your source. That's all I'm saying. But what is this thing? Is this the newest thing? Is this like the next dildo party or, you know, Mary Kay or I don't know. I don't know what activities people are doing. Hiking? Is this the new hiking? Are people going hiking still? Like more than once every 3 years? I had a, you know, terrible history with hiking because as a kid, I fucking hated hiking. You know, it all goes back to that fateful trip to the Grand Canyon where I had diarrhea. But, you know, you're a little kid. You can't just say to your mom, Mom, I don't want to hike anymore because I have diarrhea. So I'm done hiking. But also, you know, you do have it in you to be just halfway through, be like, I'm done hiking and I don't want to say why, but I'm going back. I'll meet you at the top where there's a porta potty that I swear to God flushes. It did. I don't know how. I don't know where it went. Most memorable thing about taking me to the Grand Canyon. So, Mom, if you're questioning whether you got a good value out of that trip, there you go. I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends on how you feel about the concept of plumbing being the savior of society, huh? So let me know. Let me know, Mom. I'm sure you're listening to this, huh? I'm half trying to consider getting my mom to be on this, you know, as a Mother's Day trick. Basically be like, why don't you come over and I'll make dinner and then have some wines? She would. And then I would say, why don't we do a podcast, huh? I'd love that. So, speaking of that, by the way, so my mom is a big NPR listener and had been sort of hassling a friend of mine. You know, I'm like, why can't you get me on that fucking NPR? You know, and then she says, well, you just said fuck. You can't go very long without saying fuck, so I don't, that's part of why. I mean, that's a beginning of an explanation. Do you need more? And I say, no, that'll suffice. Thank you. But I want to try out. You know what I mean? I'm like, put me in, coach. I think I can do it. So I wanted to do some, I thought I could create a couple, you know, samples, reels, you know, like, these are my hit singles. You know, if talk radio had a hit single, this is mine, that I could send them and say, see, man, I can do what you guys do. I'd be great at it. Mm-hmm. I'm ready. Put me in, coach, which they probably wouldn't understand. It's a sports thing. But that's the thing. I could probably be like, oh, I could be your sports guy. For all they know, I'm great at sports talk. So I thought I'd just try it. So let's just see what happens here. Good morning. Hope you're having a good day. I wish you all the best, you know, because you are the best. You're listening to me on this beautiful day of spring, early spring. I hope you're getting your bulbs in. Or that you did that a long time ago, if that's what you're supposed to be doing. You know? We can all just let go of those days that we've been in, you know, where I just watch my face in the rearview mirror as I drive, and sometimes I just think about closing my eyes, punching the gas, and just see what happens. But the winter's over, and we don't have to do that anymore. So get ready, because this is a morning edition. Pretty good, huh? What do you think? That's number one there. So pretty good. Pretty good. Let's try another one. You know, I'm not going to nail it on the first try, obviously. Good morning. This is Morning Edition. You're listening to some bunch of number station. Stick with us. We've got some great stories coming up. This morning, I've really hit a new low. You know, I was standing in the shower and just decided to... I had to take a number two, as we call it. The big number 2.0. And rather than getting out of the shower and dealing with that, I just remained standing and let my feces fall amongst me in the shower. And then sort of vaguely kicked the log down towards the drain and mashed it through with my foot. Unfortunately, I shower in mostly darkness because the sight of my body repulses me, so it wasn't so bad. Stay tuned for that and more on Morning Edition. That's number two there. Pretty solid. Again, you know, I know that these may not be blowing you away, but yeah, I want to have a solid reel. I want to show consistency. You know, it's like a great restaurant gets a Michelin star because they are consistent. You know, and talking about things that are fresh, just like a restaurant gets that star for using ingredients that are fresh. So let's do one more. I also wanted to do one more because I wanted to do an example of, they have to do these pledge drives, you know, where they ask you for money to keep them going. By the way, NPR does a pledge drive like every other week. I've done no pledge drives so far. So without further ado, pledge drive. Good morning. Welcome to the first day of our 10-deca annual pledge drive. I'm Pete, your host. So today we're having a pledge drive, and we're going to do things a little different. Renee Montaigne, could you please lock that door? Thank you. I'm locked in the studio, and as you can see here, I just set a pistol on the desk. So if we don't reach our goal by the end of the day, I will shoot myself in the head with a pistol. So I hope we reach that goal. I'm going to have some special guests in today. My mom is going to come in and weep and plead for you to donate so I don't kill myself. So that should be a lot of fun and very informative. We'll have a psychologist in and probably some guests from the SWAT team. So enjoy. So that's an idea. I don't know why they don't do that. That would be a great great way to really do, you know, a pledge drive. Really turn it on its head. I feel like maybe the problem with the pledge drives is the stakes are too low. You know, I don't donate, so what? I mean, I don't know. I guess I'd be pissed if I listened to it and it went away, but hey, you know, it never goes away. That's the problem. It's never, have they done that? Have they done like a 6-month hiatus? No. So what they need to do is, you know, we get to hour fucking 12 or whatever, and I say, oh man, looks like we can't make it. And then I shoot myself. This is a, you know, what can I say? I'm a dreamer. A dreamer. This is the best segue I've ever done, which I ruined by pointing that out. But nonetheless, I know people don't like stories of dreams, and I don't want to tell a story of a dream I had. However, I want to complain. You know, this is a new thing on this show. We don't usually do complaint portions of the show, but today we are. We're going to. I want to complain about the general tone and content of my dreams. The reason being, the dreams I have are not weird, really. They're not sexy. They are not frightening. They are basically like my real life, but slightly shittier. You know, for a long time, I had dreams of my teeth falling out. So, you know, in my real life, they were not falling out, but they were being restrained by metal wires. So it's not much better. It's different, but just slightly worse, you know? I also have not had sex dreams. I think I had one sex dream as like a small boy, and I didn't even really know what sex was. You know, I remember watching real sex on TV and seeing a naked woman and being like, man, the ultimate is going to be someday I'll be married and I could have sex if I wanted to. I could just fall asleep while I'm inside some lady, which now, that idea seems terrible to me. I don't know this. I haven't measured the pH with one of those things you use on a hot tub. But I suspect that if you fall asleep fully inserted in someone and remain that way for 8 hours, your penis would be dissolved. There would just be like wires and cords coming out in the morning. Just the urethra. Just the pee hole as a tube going all the way into my stomach would be all that was left. And be like, what happened? And I'd be like, I fell asleep inside someone. And the doctor would say, oh, man, you can't do that. You can't just fall asleep inside somebody. You know. Today's top story. You cannot fall asleep while you're inserted into a woman. Take it from me firsthand. Your penis will dissolve into just a tube that dangles between your legs, which is kind of what it is. But there will be no more erections, and the pee just drains out. There's no restraint. You know, it's just a slowly leaking tube. And it's got little holes in the sides, too, kind of like when you edge a yard with that stuff so you can plug a hose in and have sort of DIY sprinklers. It's a lot like that. You're just kind of lightly sprinkling your thighs, underpants, and anything around you with urine throughout the entire day. So I don't have the sex dreams, you know, and that was how far off I was from having sex when I had a semi-sex dream where nothing really happened. Very unfortunate. So I'm going to talk about the dream I had last night just because it really unites everything about dreams, okay? My typical dreams. So, you know, in the dream, I'm getting ready to go to a wedding with a girl. Do not want to go. You know, we have to go, I don't know, to some outdoor naturist area and sit around with people I don't know and, you know, and there's not going to be booze there, I'm sure. And I'm going to be hot and uncomfortable, and, you know, for whatever reason, in the dream like much in my real life. I have 10 minutes to get ready, you know, and I should have gotten ready an hour ago, but I was probably playing like Lost Planet on Xbox. I don't know why. I mean, this probably doesn't affect people who don't play Xbox to make themselves late to weddings. But as someone who does that, somehow playing a game that's, you know, 10 years old seems so much worse than if you're, you know, if I'm playing the brand new Bioshock Infinite or, you know, the new Batman or something. It's like, well, I could see why you'd get caught up in that. But this case, it's like, well, you waited a fucking, you know, 8 years to play this goddamn game. You made it that long without it. You couldn't make it another 20 minutes so you could put on your fucking suit already. So I'm going. So, you know, that's happening. And I have that low-level anxiety of having to go to a place and be around people and think, oh, man, how's this going to be, you know? But I'm going to get ready at someone else's house, you know, because the girl I'm seeing is house-sitting. So then I go there, and I go to take a shower. Now, this is the most common theme I have in dreams, is going into showers that are unacceptable. For example, they'll be covered in mold. I was in one that seemed to be mostly made out of a cave. You know, if someone carved a shower into a cave and just put a drain in the floor and a faucet on the ceiling somewhere, and you're edging around a stalagmite in order to shower. Most idiotic shower design ever. And I only have... This is the other thing about my dreams. You know, everything is stupid about them. And I only have myself to blame. I cannot wake up and then say, what fucking idiot would put a stalagmite in the shower or carve a shower into a cave right where a stalagmite is? And then I have to say, well, me, I guess, because I did that. No one's actually done that except for me and my dumb fucking brain. So, you know, I go, this shower was particularly great. It was semi-dark, and when I turned on the shower, it was revealed a bunch of extremely squirmy, maggot-like creatures were basically coating the bottom of the tub. So, you know, I'm trying to scoot them down the drain, figuring like, eh, fuck it, they'll go down the drain. That'll be fine. You know, because this is the problem with dream logic, too, is in real life, if you go to take a shower and the entire bottom of the shower is maggots, you set the house on fire and drive away. And, you know, when someone asks, you don't even have to deny it. You say, yeah, I burned that fucking place down. The entire floor of the shower was maggots. What would you have done? You know, this is too far gone. God knows what's behind the walls. If the tub may have been one giant mother maggot with a crevice in it where the little maggots live. I don't know. I'm not into bugs in a way where I know. I had to do the best with the tools I had, which are fear of maggots and desire to burn. But being a dream, you just kind of try and get them to go down the drain. So I worked on that for a while, and then finally just decided to take, you know, a whore's bath, which I don't know why we call that a whore's bath, where you, like, go to the sink and then put some water in your armpits and on your crotch. It's like... Whores are, I don't know. I should think a whore's bath should be a very thorough bath. That would be my preference. I don't think whores are like, I would not, that could be like a, you know, I don't know, an oil field guy's bath, because I don't really care if he's clean all over. But a whore should probably be somewhat clean, right? I mean, maybe that's the bath they take immediately after, but I don't know what the point of that is, you know what I mean? I don't know. There's a gross penis in you. What are you going to do? Rinse off your pubes? Good. That'll make a difference. That'll, you know. Your father would have been really disappointed, but as long as you're splashing sink water on your armpit, I don't know, it's not so bad, huh? Everything's okay. So then, here's the other great part of the dream. So then my date shows up, you know, and it's not someone I've ever known. And she's, like, taking her clothes off to put on her let's-go-to-the-wedding clothes. And for some reason, she's wearing, like, a weird thong. And she's real hot. Real attractive. And I'm looking at her, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, she's very attractive. And then my next thought is, well, we better get going to the wedding. you know, and it's like she's tripped naked right in front of me. And all I can think of is we better hurry to this wedding that I don't want to go to, you know? And you're in dream world. Why can't my brain take over and say, hey, man, there ain't no wedding. You know, we're going to miss a dream wedding. So what? So someone across town is dreaming about having a wedding and I wasn't there? Fuck them. You know, you could have done something crazy in your dream for the first time, but it's never going to happen. I have too much neuroses for that. The neuroses are riding high. There's another good... I'm really nailing the segues here until I mention how great they are, which completely kills the momentum. So 3 weeks ago, I went to attend a therapy. I went and saw this guy. He had a beard and a sweater. And I told him about my life. And he asked me questions like, why do you think that? And, huh? And it wasn't real helpful, you know, but... I thought, we got to stick with this, right? It's like when I played volleyball. I go to one practice. If I took my skill at the one practice, well, that's a bad example because I should have gone to the one practice and then quit. But it's like everything else besides volleyball. You know, you do it one time, you're probably not going to, that's not going to be your best showing. And sometimes things require an accumulation, right? And I'm only talking about this because, you know, I think it's an okay thing to do. I don't want people to, I don't really give a fuck if you think I'm crazy. I mean, you're listening to this show. I just talked about how my NPR tryout was mashing a poo log down the drain. So fuck you, okay? This is what you wanted, isn't it? Crazy? So there you go. So yeah, this guy talked and he said, all right, come back in 3 weeks, you know. Very awkward, too, because it ends. It was my first time going. I'm like, well, how much do you charge? You know, I didn't know. And he's like, yeah. And then he's saying, you know, I'm like, well, he's saying, how often do you want to come? Do you want to come back? How often? I say, sure. And he's like, well, I don't know. Once a month doesn't seem like very much. But every other week I'm going to be broke. So let's say 3 weeks, you know. But it's weird at the end because I'm in the middle of talking about something and he has to sort of be like, so listen, that's all the time we had. And I was fine with that. I mean, what was I going to say? Oh, you mean all my problems don't fit into 1 hour? I'm fucking gobsmacked by that. I cannot believe that, you know, all my issues couldn't fit into one tight. I couldn't condense it into a tight hour, you know? Yeah, I mean, this is what fucking 150 hours of radio so far that we've done, and we're still coming up with them every, you know, the latest one is, oh, I had images of a bathtub full of maggots and a really hot girl in a thong that I wanted to take to a wedding. Good. So anyway, so we, you know, we talked about coming back and all that. It's real weird because he's trying to end it, and I think, well, that's fine, I understand, you can't just stay here all day, you know. But it's an awkward thing because you're talking about your innermost feelings and then to have someone say, okay, stop. This is when our professional thing happens, you know. I just need to bring in my own timer, I think, because then I'll be aware of the time and say, you know, listen, I need to talk about, like, my relationship problems big time. So, you know, it's been 20 minutes. I've been talking about the dentist. We need to move on. Let's move on. Force the momentum a little. So, you know, I'm like, all right, see you in 3 weeks. So yesterday I go back, same office. Now it's a weird office. He doesn't have his name or anything on the door, but I think this might be not unusual for therapists because, you know, they probably don't want it to be like the Nut House. And it's like a guy in a straight jacket with swirly lines around his head, dancing around with no shoes on. Come in here, avoid the Nut House, you know. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Ha ha ha, and then you go in and, you know, talk about when your grandma died. So it's I'm sure it's not unusual, but I go to the same place, and it's an office that doesn't have his name on it, but there's a bunch of little rooms in this big office. And the first time I went, it was this weird snowy day. Nobody was there but him. So he was just kind of sitting in the lobby saying, oh, no one's here, so I thought I'd wait down here. And we went up this staircase and into his office. You know, it was cool. But this time, I go there and I go in the other office and there's this girl sitting behind the desk. And I say, hey, I'm here to see, you know, Dr. Zayas. And she gives me this look like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I'm like, Dr. Zayas, you know, and I say his first name and she's giving me this quizzical look and she's like, we have a Mr. Adams here. And he's not a doctor. He's something else, you know what I mean? Like a real estate guy or something. And I said, no, I mean, he's like a therapist. Saw him here 3 weeks ago. I mean, I think this is where he works, you know, and she's given me this blank look. She has no idea. And I say, all right, cool. And go back out the door thinking, all right, maybe there's like a different staircase or he's got a front door in the building. Look around. I mean, this is not a big building, you know, and there's two other doors and there are two weird apartments that are attached to this. So I'm thinking, oh, great. So then I go stand outside and look around thinking, am I fucking crazy? Like, is this like a thing in the movies, you know, where the guy gets the treasure from some guy, he gives him the genie lamp, and then he poof, disappears. He's just gone when he turns around. Because, you know, I'm thinking, surely this guy is not blown out of town, you know? And I knew I was in the right building, but what else can you do, you know? So I listened back. I had the phone message he left me, and he gave me these detailed instructions, and he said the name of the that's on the building, and I said, all right, this is fucking where I am, you know? So I go back in there, and the lady at the desk is doing some other shit, so I said, no, screw it. I'm just going to go upstairs where we went last time, see what's going on. Go up there. All the lights are out. And again, I knew I was in the right place because, like, there were these motivational posters on the wall that I remembered from the last time. And in the bathroom, I had to pee so bad, and I went in their bathroom, and there was this, like, affirmation type thing in there, you know, something about the man in the mirror. Not the good Michael Jackson song, but something else that's like, you know, if you let yourself down, that's the only person you can let down or something. To which, you know, what are you going to say to that? Oh my God, you're right. Fuck you. So I go wandering around and finally the doors are all closed. I knock on the door that I went in the last time, nothing. And then I just left. Completely bewildered. I mean, how does this happen? How does that happen? You know, imagine you went to your doctor and they gave you some kind of x-rays or something and they're like, you're looking good, but I'd like to see you in 3 weeks. So you leave and you go back. And when you go back, you know, there's nobody there. There's a receptionist you've not seen before who's completely confused when you mention the name. You'd think they would have known the name or at least seen some people going in and out, right? They'd be familiar with the drill. And there's like two offices in the whole building. So if that was really happening, wouldn't she know that was happening? How would you not know? First day, maybe? So anyway, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just fucking crazy. Maybe that's it. Maybe that was the real test. Maybe I dreamt that I went to a therapist, and then I took a shower in his office. We didn't have sex. And here we are today, you know. Anyway, if anyone's got a good therapist in the area, let me know. You know, my main things I need from a therapist are someone who's pretty understanding, who's got a fairly low price scale, and who does not just fucking disappear and into dust. Okay? I mean, those are my basics. I'm flexible on some of those, obviously. But for the most part, that's what I'd really like to see. I also went to one of my other favorite places today. I went to the laundromat. Not to do laundry. This is a thing that happens when you live in an apartment or shared area. You always get this idea. You're like, maybe I'll go to the laundromat. You know what I mean? I'll do some reading. I'll get my laundry done in a third the time because I can just fucking throw it all in there at once and be done with it. You get these ideas, but then you go there and you're like, this place fucking blows. There's 100 kids just running around with these baskets. Would they really need these little shopping carts at the laundromat? Bring your own fucking basket. How did you get your laundry there? And it's crazy to me that people are folding their laundry at the laundromat. You know what I mean? Fuck you. Fold it when you get home. What are you doing? You're folding it, stacking it, and then you put it in the drawer when you get home? What? That's insane. You don't need to do that. If you're doing laundry to laundromat, you don't need to fold your clothes, okay? That's a standard. So I go there not at all planning to use the facility. In fact, I didn't even go. I jogged over there with a plastic bag and $5 to get quarters to use the laundry at my apartment. This is something I've done for a long time. I used to go to this one laundromat and get quarters, which is the one I went to, but the change machine was pretty unreliable. And things have gone to shit over there, by the way. You know, I go in, the floor is covered in mud. The whole floor. You know, because at first, I kind of try to, like, walk by and see, because sometimes these are semi-attended. Once I went to a different laundromat, put my dollar in the thing, and then got the change, and the lady was like, "Are you not doing your laundry here?" You know, in broken English. And I said, "Oh, well, I just saw that the last load is in like a half hour. I can't get it done in time." She's like, "You can't just come here and get change." And I'm like, "Oh, dude, I'm coming back tomorrow. I can't get my laundry done that fast." And she wasn't buying it, but what was I going to do? I mean, she put me in a position where she says, "You can't do that." And I say, "Well, I did. I don't, you know, what do you want me to say? Call the bank. Blame them for not being open late. You know, and for asking me to open a savings account. Let me tell you something, the bank. If I'm getting a roll of quarters from you to do my fucking laundry, I don't need a savings account. I am not in a savings position, okay? If I had money to save, would I be buying quarters to do my own laundry? Do you think I'm running my own coin op? Is that what you think? I'm running that as a small business and I need the change? Or do you think that I'm living in like a shit apartment and I need to spend $1.75 per load of laundry? You know? What do you think? Ed, you know, go take a guess. I'll wait. I will wait as I accrue 0.008% interest on my account here. You know, which could be 0.009 if I only switched it to a savings and made it nearly inaccessible except from 9 to 5 Monday through Thursday. Fucking idiots. So, you know, I go to this other laundromat and, you know, I try to be cautious. I try to scope out the scene. See, like, does it look like anyone's working there? You know, and I see one guy doing laundry in there and think, ah, fuck it. You know what I mean? It's fine. If they give me shit, I'll say, I live next door. I'll come up with a lie. I'm good at lying. Or at least lying. And I mean, what are they going to do? Give me my $5 back? Fine. So first thing I noticed going to this place, fucking covered in signs, man. There is a sign everywhere for everything. And then there are signs that, you know, say, read this sign first, you know, next to this huge long sign. It's not even a sign. It's an essay about how to use the laundromat and how to not use the laundromat. I fucking love when people do that at their business. They put up a bunch of shitty handwritten signs, or it's like a Microsoft Word sign, but they center the columns and double space it so it looks like someone wrote a poem there, but it's just some sign they made. And, you know, it's telling you not to, like, pee on the floor. Don't pee in the washer or the dryer, and "or" is bold and double underlined. You know, because you need to know, oh, I can't do either. See, I always assumed if I didn't pee in the washer, I could pee in the dryer. You know, I thought it was an either or, but it's neither. Huh. Wow. Fucking blown away. So, you know, and there's like a huge sign that says no oil rags in the top load washers, you know. Or the front load, one of the kinds of washers. You cannot throw oil rags in there. So here's the thing. This sign suggests that this is happening often enough that it warranted someone taping a sign with packing tape to the wall. I mean, this is one of the issues of the laundromat that's sort of underrated. You know, people, I think about getting crabs or something from the laundromat, and who cares? I mean, that's not a big deal. Probably rather have crabs than ruin a pair of pants, honestly, that I like. So I have like two pairs of pants I like and hoping to get another year out of them. You know, that's unrealistic, but you know, you have the crabs, you get rid of them in a couple weeks, fine. So what? You wash your sheets. You should be doing that anyway, right? But, you know, people are doing all kinds of crazy shit. Like, I went to the laundromat once in high school. So I had this girlfriend in high school. God damn. That was a crazy time to think about. I mean, for her and for me, because I was with her. You know, and she had the weirdest parents, man. Her parents, you know, they'd set her curfew for 10, let's say. And they went by the clock on their VCR, you know, so she would cut it so close that she would look at her watch before she left and know to the minute, you know, okay, they're going by the clock on the VCR. That's 2 minutes ahead of my watch. You know, and the VCR time, that was Greenwich Mean, man. There was no, you know, okay, you're 3 minutes off, but I mean the VCR is 3 minutes fast or something. Whatever the VCR said when she got home was the time. You know, and if she was 1 minute late, she was late and she would be grounded for like a week. Now, I'm not great at being on time, but, you know, I think that develops because basically most of the things in my life, if I'm late, there's really no consequence. You know what I mean? And I don't mean 3 hours late. I just mean 15 minutes here and there. There's nothing. There's no reason to be on time most of the time, to be honest. But at that time, even I was thinking, listen, why don't you give yourself 15 minutes to get home? You know what I mean? Instead of peeling out down the street, driving 55 and a 30 to get home on time because your parents are insane, leave 15 minutes early. I don't think this was the goal of you being home at exactly 10 p.m., you know, was for you to do that. So anyway, one time, her grandparents, I think, knew that she was in a, like, vaguely neglected/abused position, so they wanted to give her money, but her mom would not let her just have money. You know, if she had money, it had to go into some bank account, you know, some mystery bank account. So sometimes her grandma would give her things to do and then pay her to do it, and somehow that was okay. So, you know, one of the jobs was like, hey, will you take a bunch of these rugs to the laundromat and wash them? She's like, all right. And we would do this too. You know, if she had chores or errands or something, I would hang out with her because that was the only time we could hang out. You know, I could go with her to the laundromat, even though we weren't supposed to be doing shit. It really makes no difference. The blankets still get washed, right? So we take these rugs to the laundromat, but the reason they wanted to take them to the laundromat is because they're all soaked in dog pee. I mean soaked. So, you know, when the grandma says, I'll give you $50 to wash a bunch of rugs, you say, fucking A. You know what I mean? Hour at the laundromat for $50? Jesus Christ, that's way more than I make as an adult, you know? But then when you're like, oh, they're saturated with dog pee, you know, to the point where I think we washed each one twice. And when we put them in the dryer, you know, and the dryer heats up and it has like a vague pee smell. Something about the dryer makes some substances smell like pee. So it's really hard to separate, you know, and you just smell it. I was noticing, so I was cleaning some of the interior of my car, a couple stains, and I had this stain remover from way back when my brother threw up in my car, which he loves that I mentioned that. And I was spraying the stuff in the car and realized that, you know, that smell is completely associated with vomit. You know, it's got a little bit of a vomity tinge to it. But now that smell, I cannot separate the smell of that shampoo from the vomit. And there's just something about that drier smell that you can't separate from the pee. But then you gotta wonder, maybe it is pee. I mean, maybe people are just using any public dryer to wash their peed up clothes in, you know, or their peed up whatever, or, you know, I don't know, maybe if some friend of mine said, I have this rug that's real peed up, will you wash it in your thing at your apartment? I'd probably say, go fuck yourself, go to the laundromat, but, you know, that's me. I do my laundry here, so obviously I can't do that. You know, that's never going to work. But I could see people doing that. That's not completely out of the question. We had some real weird times, I gotta say. Her parents were fucking crazed, you know? One of the worst times of my life, I went over to her house and we watched Moulin Rouge because she liked that movie. But basically, we had to have the sound all the way off because, you know, she had little brother and sister and the parents were like, oh, they'll wake up. And So we watched a musical with no sound. It was great. You know, I had no idea what was going on, as that movie tends to disorient. And then imagine you can't hear what anyone's saying or singing. I don't know. Kind of killed the movie, I'm not going to lie. I mean, maybe it's a good movie, but I'll never know because I cannot watch that again. Can't do it. Oh, God. Yeah, anyway. I don't know, this laundromat, too. It's so funny they have these signs all over. Because when you think about who's reading the sign, is it the person who's putting fucking flaming rags in the washer and then they are like, oh, I better carefully read the signs first? Or is it some shithead? You know what I mean? And your imagination is, oh, this fucking complete shithead is totally going to read the sign. You know what I mean? He's going to take the time and say, ah, this sign says read this first. I better read this essay of a sign so that I know how to use the laundromat. Fuck that. You're just reading the sign as me. And all I'm doing with the sign is using it to say, ah, oh, shit. This is like, you know, some bad stuff's going on here. You know what I mean? It's like if you go into the dressing room at a place and they have all kinds of shit up about only one person at a time in the dressing room. You're like, all right, well, somebody fucked in this dressing room, clearly. Clearly there is an incident, because why would you have all these signs? You know what I mean? That's a rule that does not need to be spoken or can be spoken. I mean, if I worked a dressing room at Target, I think I'd be pretty comfortable being like, hey, you can't go in there. P.S. You know, I was thinking the other day how if you had like a handicapped girlfriend or boyfriend, let's say they were missing an arm and they had a fake arm, I think you could go and you could fuck in a lot of places like that. Like, you could go into the dressing room, and when they said only one at a time, you could be like, listen, I don't want to make a big thing out of this, but she's only got one arm. Kind of needs some help putting on the stuff. You know, it's tough. How do you put on a bra with one arm? And they'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. And you'd be like, yeah, you fucking should be. And then what are they going to, they can't question that. No matter what, they hear scuffling around and moaning. Be like, yeah, it was difficult. Yes, I'm sweating. That's what happens. Perhaps that is what happens when I have intercourse. Perhaps I'm doused in sweat. You know, perhaps you can feel a vibe off of me that makes you shudder. Like when you drive by a swamp where you're just absolutely positive the body of that dead girl is buried. But maybe that's also what happens when I help someone put on clothes. You don't know. That's the key here. You don't know, okay? So do not judge me. Save the judgment for Judge Judy, you piece of shit. Yeah, I don't know. I would avoid the laundromat. You know, unless you live in the city, I don't think there's any reason to go there. Or you are doing one of these things, you know, you wrapped a corpse in a duffel bag and you want to wash out the bag for some reason, I guess go for it. If something that's soaked in, you know, it's a good one. I saw one time there was a sign at a laundromat I'll never forget, and it said something about, if you have been skunked, do not wash your clothes here. You know, because if you get skunked, it's really hard to get that out, and you probably don't want to do it in your washer at home because you're thinking, oh, Christ, you know. By the way, I love, you know, the pants that I love and the shirts that I love are important to me, but, you know, if they got skunked, they got to go. What's the point, you know? I mean, I would consider just killing myself, you know, when they started going through the litany of, all right, here's what you got to do. You got to take a bath in tomato juice, okay? Then cold water bath. Then tomato bath. Then oatmeal. Then hot water to open the pores. And then while the pores are open, more tomato. Then cold, then hot. Then, you know, vinegar. Then white out. Fill the tub with white out and sit in it. Then tomato, cold, tomato, hot, tomato, tomato. I'd say, all right, I'll probably just kill myself. You know, what's the point? Or just get on a motorcycle naked and fall off till the skin comes off. You know, most of the smell would be wiped away, I assume. It'd be a real shame, you know, you get burned over 90% of your body and they're like, oh God, that guy smells like fucking skunk still. You believe it? what are the odds? You know, everyone's really enjoying this medical marvel. You're like, yeah, that's it's great. You know, I was pretty worried about being skunked, actually, but now, you know, small potatoes, huh? If you want to see some small potatoes, just look under this gown, you know what I'm saying? Take that, nurse. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's an option, just ending the life. I was hearing this thing the other day about how, I've heard this a couple times now, because they were saying, you know, when Prozac and stuff like that, Zoloft's really hit the market, they were associating it with suicide. You know, they're like, oh my God, a bunch of people who are taking this are committing suicide. And they're thinking how, you know, you think that's crazy because this is supposed to up your mood. But the problem is that people are so depressed that they can't kill themselves. Like, they can't really rally enough to actually end their lives. So the medicine starts working, and they start having just enough energy to be like, you know what? I am going to learn how to tie a noose, you know what I mean? Or I am going to go load that shotgun. Isn't that fucked up? What a crazy world we live in. Crazy world, you know? But we all do our things to avoid it. I've been, you know, it's like what that question, what do you do for fun? Been coming up with some answer from that, you know, besides be in chairs and feel pain. I stack pillows in a bed so it feels like a body next to me. That's pretty fun. I go try and get some work done at the college library. That's great. That makes me feel better because there's... I swear to God, if you go to a college library on a Saturday afternoon, this is the island of misfit, you know, weirds out there. It's like a one-armed guy shelving books, which is blows my mind because I'm like, that's the job you give that guy? Really? Like the one thing in the whole building that requires two arms to help, I mean. He seems fine at it. It just seems weird to me. You couldn't have given him any other job. And, you know, but whatever, not a big deal. You know, I don't know, too. It's so funny. I always wonder about the stumps. You know, what is that under there? Is that like a pointy bone or just a bone? I don't know. How do they work that out? How does the stump form? What is it on the end? Is there muscle there? Is it just flesh? Fat? I don't know. Could you get some kind of implant in there to make, like, you know, put a little hand under the skin so you could just have a weird little hand? And, you know, so I thought that guy was weird, but whatever. And then they're getting ready to close, and I'm packing up, and this lady comes by, and it's like, you know, the tiny rat woman of the building that I'm not even sure. I doubt that she's on paid staff. I feel like she just, you know, lives in the underground tunnels that every college seems to have to heat the campus. And she emerges to help close the library on Saturdays, but no one has ever actually, who works there, has ever actually seen her. You know, she darts into this little cubby where I am, and she's like, we're closing soon. I say, okay, yeah, you know, I'm packing up. And there's always, and then there's like the girl studying there, the one other person studying there is the girl who clearly is differentiating herself from the rest of her college by being barefoot all the time. God, do I hate that person. Oh, man. If being barefoot is your thing, I hate you. I mean, why? What are you doing, you know? It's not good. People say it's natural. You know, it's good for you. It's natural. But you know what's not natural? Cement. Walking on the cement. So, I mean, I think that negates anything. You know, yeah, I guess if you live on the prairie and you're walking through the prairie and you don't expect to step on a smashed Corona bottle, go for it. But when you're on a college campus, I mean, the bathroom has that set-in glaze of pee smell that cannot be replicated outside of some kind of institution that's been around way too long. Few bars can match the set-in, baked-in pee smell of those bathrooms. You know, and you notice it gets less bad. Like, the first floor is the worst. Third floor is less bad because I guess, you know, I don't know. You're too lazy to pee in the third floor. You're not going to go up there just to pee, but you might go in the first floor just to pee. I don't know. I don't know how that works. Maybe it all flows. you know, maybe those urinals, they might not even be hooked up to anything. I think the urinals just flush with the wall and it just runs down the wall into the tile, and maybe the pee from the third floor just runs down to the second and the first floor, and, you know, so the first floor is basically all the pee. There used to be another floor below that, but then once it filled with pee, they just closed it. There's just a room that's a pee tank in there. You know, I don't know. I don't know how that pee smell gets in there. And then I don't know how, there's not like one, you know, the head of the maintenance crew, right? Or if I owned a bar, let's say, my first stop when I came in to open the next day would be the bathroom. And I would just take a whiff and say, okay, well, you need to fix this. You know, this smells like pee. And I know it's a bathroom. It should not smell like this. At least fresh pee. That's all I ask. I don't want it to smell like something that a Navajo man peed in 10 years ago and has sat in a Lucite box at the fucking museum for the last 500 years. You know, I want it to be like, all right, that was probably pee from yesterday. That's okay. Navajo old pee, not okay. You know, I think the distinction there is pretty easy to understand, but, you know, I don't know. I'm not in charge of the bathrooms anywhere. I could do it. You know, I'm looking to make some extra cash, so if you need somebody, give me a call. That's another one, guys. Thanks for listening. Keep listening. Keep recommending episodes and posts to your friends and enemies and families. I love your families the most. You know, they're the crazy ones. They're the true weirds. See you later.